Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. I'd like to welcome everyone to our call. Here we are. It's already September. I know you can't believe it. The end of an era. Summer is practically over. I believe the official last day of summer is somewhere around the 22nd. But for those of you who are on the East Coast and the Jersey Shore, you know what it means, Labor Day. And for those of us on the West Coast, a lot of us live where it's two seasons, summer and spring year-round. So I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to tonight's call. A lot of talent, a lot of superstars on tonight's call, and a lot of soon-to-be superstars. Now, how many of you on tonight's call are in the process of becoming a recovering employee? What does that mean? It means you are soon to be a serialpreneur, meaning that you will eventually have multiple streams of income with a series of business ventures. You may have heard one of my exceptional friends, clients, and top producers I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with, Alexis Romano. It was 4 years ago that I met Alexis, a little over 4 years ago, in June of 2011. I share that with you to impress upon you that each and every one of you could be living your dreams in the next 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. Now, I know many of you are here for some great content tonight, and I promise you I will deliver. I will cover a few quick announcements, let you know of some of the upcoming events where I will be speaking with some of my exceptional friends and clients across the United States. Tonight I'm going to create some really relaxed energy, some relaxed presence, so that you can be in power and let go of your force. I'm about to host Breakthroughs to Success number 109. Now, it's very interesting. I'm a numerologist. So in the world of numerology, if you take 1 and 9 and break it down, that is 10. 10 broken down into numbers is 1 plus 0 is 1. So that is really Breakthroughs number 1 on 109. And that's really a very interesting dynamic when you start to understand the simplicity, especially when it comes to the 6 degrees of separation and you break it down to 1. Because you're one person away from someone you can collaborate with that in a win-win situation, that the two of you can create results that will take both of you to the next level of wherever you're going in any enterprise. And so I'm going to cover some of that content tonight on the self-talk that allows you to affirm you're going forward rather than the self-talk that allows you to keep confirming you're going backwards. So my name is Jeffrey Combs. For those of you I've not met, I've been a success coach, mentor, top-tier inspirational speaker, best-selling author, and the author of a brand-new book that's about to come out in the next few weeks. And part of this book is dedicated to my good friend Joe Alonzo, who is partially responsible for really assisting me to write this book back in the day. The name of that book is The Anger Factor, and will be available for release in about 30 days. That book is a whole story in itself of what I went through to be able to go through a series of publishers that were not open to that book, and so I reinvented myself and published it myself, so within 30 days. For any of you who are seeking one-on-one coaching or personal mentoring, I have coached over 9,000-plus clients, reaching almost 10,000. Now, I offered free 15 minutes of coaching on July 18th and then again last week. Now, I had well over 200 calls. I will promise you this, that every single person who called me will get a phone call back. I've left many messages and have the privilege of doing 15-minute coaching calls for many of you. I don't typically offer the calls, but if you really ever feel you require some insight, you can call me. Now, I know that may sound odd to open that up, but I'm available after 8 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, that's 11 o'clock for you in the East Coast. If there's something you require from me, I will answer a question or two because you deserve it. So with that in mind, let's move right into some of the upcoming events. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm hosting Breakthroughs to Success, my signature product that comes with my coaching services. For those of you who have taken advantage of my coaching, it also comes with a 2.5-day event called Breakthroughs to Success. It is an event routinely for anywhere from 40 to 55 people, and I have the ideal number this weekend, 39. So it's going to be a very interesting group of entrepreneurs. People are coming from all across the United States and Canada. September 19th, I will be in the backside of my favorite city, the city by the bay, Pleasanton, California, which is in the East Bay of beautiful San Francisco, California. It's about 60 miles from my hometown, Pleasanton, California. On September 26th, I'll be doing my first event in Atlanta, Georgia, my first appearance there in 15 months. October 3rd, one of the most beautiful cities, not only in the South, but in the United States, Charleston, South Carolina. October 10th, Albany, Georgia, and Joe Romano, or Joe Alonzo. That's when I'll be connecting with you on that Saturday the 10th, heading to one of our favorite restaurants, Da Benito, in Union, New Jersey. October 17th, I'll be in one of my favorite cities, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with my good friend, Joe DiBianca. October 24th, Chicago, Illinois, one of my favorite restaurant cities. Every city in America is one of my favorite restaurant cities because every city has great Italian restaurants. October 31st, Buffalo, New York. Now, I know some of you love sushi. That is not my niche. I love Italian. I can eat Italian 7 days a week and for lunch as well. Moving into November, on November 7th, I'm honored to announce that myself and Alexis Romano will be hosting the great Susan Sly and Mark Victor Hansen. Now, I know Alexis has also booked some great speakers throughout the year for her team, but I'm honored to be able to have Alexis assist me in sharing the stage with the great Mark Victor Hansen. For those of you not familiar with Mark, he's been a long-term friend of mine, endorsed many of my books. He's the co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. He will be offering some of his seminars and webinars that he does. He's the founder of a seminar called the Mega Book Mega Speaker Series that he hosts in Orange County, California, which I've had the privilege of sharing the stage with some of the most exceptional speakers of all time at that event. So Mark's going to be a guest on my call before November 7th. Now, that is a one-day event. It has limited seating. We have seating for about 800 people. There are a few of the front rows still available for $47. General seating is $27. I'll also be bringing on March 19th in the same venue in Newark, New Jersey. It'll be the Marriott in March, the great Dr. Joe Dispenza. I know some of you have gone to some of his three-day events, which is life-changing, would not be doing justice to that situation. November 21st, I'll be in Norwalk, Connecticut with Lori Carminucci, who is an exceptional client, friend, and fantastic host. On December 5th, I will be in beautiful Long Island. Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz have consistently hosted that event for me. I believe we're doing four this year. We did one last year. What a great place to speak. December 19th, the City of Angels, one of my favorite places. Once again, every city is one of my favorites. But December 19th, I will be in Los Angeles, California. Another phenomenal client of mine, Nicola Stotter, just booked me for now. I know that many of you probably don't even know where this is, but I'll be in Bozeman, Montana next spring. Now, that is unequivocally God's country and big sky country. I challenge some of you to come and see me in Bozeman. Now, that is a fabulous place. Where is Bozeman? It's actually in northwest Montana, right above Yellowstone National Park, about 3 hours from beautiful Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So look it up, Bozeman, Montana. And with that, I will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This is one of my favorite topics, self-talk. What do you say when you say to yourself? The great Shad Helmstetter wrote a book in the late 70s called that, What do you say when you talk to yourself? Unfortunately, most people's self-talk is limiting, has a lot of poverty consciousness, a lot of lack, and many people use words of hesitation, levitation, meditation that talk them out of action. And if you use a language style that's where you go in and out of your body, where you talk yourself out of action, a lot of your language will be avoidance. I coach anywhere from 12 to 14 hours a day, Monday through Wednesday, and 12 hours on Thursdays before I catch a plane on Thursday night to speak at a venue of my choice. And I assist people to be able to come clear, have clarity with your communication style. If you're not clear with the way you speak to yourself, it'll show up in the way you communicate with others. So if you use ums, ahs, okays, yas, and sures, That means you're telegraphing an unconscious communication style of disbelief or doubt. Doubt is a space between fear and faith. Now, there's a high probability that many of you on tonight's call, because you're relatively new, are going to use a language style that's not yet conducive to success. However, many of you are in cultures and teams that really foster personal development and self-improvement. I know that Alexis, Tara, C.G. Siddons, Don Ferrantino, Joe Alonzo, and many of the top leaders in that group have really created a culture and environment that it's conducive to be able to move forward because of the centrifugal force that's going on in there. And the speakers that you're exposed to, the events you go to with your company, the people that you mentor with, the people you model yourself after. If you go to any of Tony Robbins' events, he's unequivocally the master of NLP. If you've ever seen the great Chris Howard speak, who's a top-tier NLP speaker. If you've ever seen Richard Bandler, John Grinder, the founders of NLP, it's really a language based on persuasion. And the more you learn to educate your expectations and re-educate your expectations, you will begin to create a different kind of movement. But when you try and force yourself to overcome an addiction or force yourself to prospect, or you attempt to force yourself to do what your unconscious conscious says is uncomfortable and is painful, then that means you're trying to control your control. But when you let go of your force and live in power, and the type of power that I'm speaking about is defined in a book called Power Versus Force, unequivocally one of the most exceptional books ever written by the great David Hawkins, who's also responsible for a book that we use in the group, Guilt Cleanse. Now, for those of you on tonight's call that have not joined a private group, Guilt Cleanse, feel free to join that group tonight. It's an open forum, or it's a closed forum, that gives you full autonomy to be able to share some of your anxiety that has kept you guilty, overwhelmed, in shame, and keeps you from not only moving forward, but receiving, deserving, and being able to receive, deserve, and ask. And those three words must start to become a component of your communication style. But the dialogue that you speak to yourself in will either move you forward or keep you stuck. And the more stuck you are, the more disappointed you stay. When you are watching someone else rank advance or someone achieve success, then you're going to tell yourself you're not jealous. But somewhere back there in the deepest, darkest corners of your mind, you're wondering why they're getting the love while they're getting the recognition and you're not getting anything. Well, the reason you're not getting that recognition is because you haven't earned it. And you may be a great giver, a great server. You may have fanfare for the common man. That's all great. But in our game, you also must be a producer. Deserve means day of service, and that's awesome to serve. It's very important that you serve. It's also important that you give, but it's also important that you receive. And if you're not comfortable with receiving must be a component of your communication dialogue. Ask to receive. I deserve to receive. To state is to affirm. That's the power of an affirmation. Now, many of you have my affirmation deck. They're called More Heart Than Talent cards. I started my first affirmation deck back in 1991 with a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It. It was a book published by DeVos Publishing back in the late 80s and early 90s, and it was four little books, about 100 pages, written in 1925 through 1940, written by the great Florence Scovel Shinn. I was first exposed to the power of word in the book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. Chapter 3 said, words do not return void. Man and woman constantly make law with their words. When you understand that your words are wand and words are power, you will begin to change your words. Now, the most common words that I assist my clients to address is the word need, the word guess. These are the most common words that show up in communication style. When you're telling yourself what you need to do, it's a future tense term with no commitment. When you tell a teammate what they need to do, it's a different context because you're telling them what to do and you're coming from control. When you learn to suggest what to do, it becomes a different context. That's why it's not so much what you say, it's what you mean. Now, when you start to understand that, then you're starting to learn a language of persuasion. Now, your expectations. I personally expect to find a parking space in front of every restaurant where I dine. Case in point, this Sunday night, I went to a restaurant in Stockton, California, a place called a place called Market Tavern in the exact same parking space that has been available for the last solid year, just right of the door. Like when I say right, I mean about 10 feet right of the door, first parking space available. Now, that restaurant does not have valet parking, but that space is always available for me on a Sunday night at 7:30. Now, early in my career, I wouldn't have noticed that because I was checked out, overwhelmed, consumed with my liability debt. I wasn't moving forward. I wasn't getting the love. I wasn't ranking. Advancing. I was in a company called Herbalife at the time. I didn't know there were parking spaces up front. I mean, that shouldn't even dawn on me, even though that sounds so elementary and so pedestrian. That didn't happen to me. Even though I had many good things happen to me throughout my life, I also spent a lot of my life being overwhelmed, in chaos, in drama, unorganized, undisciplined, and most importantly, emotionally and physically addicted. When I got clean and sober, started to practice the 12 steps of sobriety, most importantly recovery, one day at a time, and started to live I had an affirmation called the Serenity Prayer. That was my first exposure to affirmation, to state, to affirm. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, when you can come from that kind of power, that is let-go energy. But when you are in control of your control, then you have a language style that will lead to being overwhelmed, being unorganized. If you desire to become successful, that's a key word, if you desire to become successful, and it's something that you are committed to, and see, write the word commit, C-O-M-M-I-T down. Write it down and take a look at it. Begin to integrate. There's another key word. Begin to integrate that word in your communication style. Rather than saying need, say commit. It changes your energy. It changes what you attract. It changes the way you feel. Now, if you're commitment phobic and you're not sure, uncertain, live in doubt, then you'll use language conducive to foster the feelings to be able to put you in a position that you'll be and stay disappointed. Now, what many people do, this is the way they talk to themselves in business. I'm afraid of failing. Now, what does that really mean? To say that you fear failure, what you're really saying is I fear success. Even though the words say I fear failure, see, that's what you say, what you really mean is I have anxiety about the responsibility of succeeding, and I'm not sure if I can pull it off. So if I feel failure, fear failure, and that's what I keep saying, what that really means is if I avoid failing, and that's what many people do, they procrastinate. They get ready to get ready. They avoid the perceived pain of the story that they've created, which is not really true. By avoiding doing the business, by avoiding prospecting, they don't fail but stay disappointed, which becomes the contradiction that keeps so many people doing the same thing over and over, going to seminars, workshops, rallies, conventions, getting coaching, training, getting on podcasts, listening, watching webcasts, doing all the situations in social media, but not being in action. Now, there are many people who say to me, I need an accountability partner. I said, you need one or you deserve one. And not only do you deserve an accountability partner, but are you accountable? An accountability partner can be empowering. However, accountability is underrated and accountability partner is overrated if you're not taking action. What many people do is they get together and they talk about their accountability. And they talk about how they're going to be accountable, how they're going to stay accountable. They do a 90-day game plan together, but they never take action. Now, last Friday, here's where you could find me. I had over 200 leads that called me for coaching. On Friday, I prospected for 3 hours. On Saturday, I prospected for 5 hours. Now, why do I prospect for 5 hours? Because I own a business. I own a business, and to be able to own a business, you must have a business for profit. This also must be in your communication. Now, many people say they're in business to help people. That's freaking great, dude, if you're in the Red Cross or Salvation Army. That is awesome. I mean, that's fanfare for the common man. You definitely are there for people. You are there to give. You are to serve, but you also better have people that you can empower, people that you can lead, people that you can develop, people you can mentor, people that you have in your circle of influence, and people that you can have in your mastermind alliance, one or more of like mind that come together for a common cause. Now, in 6 degrees of separation, when there is no separation, when you are one and you understand one with, and you let go of your control that keeps you in control of being out of control, and you understand that one with is innate, one with God, via con Dios, when you understand that terminology, that phraseology, and you begin to live in that type of power, then you're only one situation away from whatever it is you're seeking. You're one phone call, you're one lead, you're one restaurant, you're one connection from that. When you are in that kind of light, in that kind of enlightenment, then you are connected. To be connected, you must be grounded. To be grounded, you must be in your body. But if you're in an outer body experience based on a past event where you were traumatized, victimized, abandoned, neglected, there's guilt and shame that's in your house of anxiety, then your language style will be conducive to speaking that way so you can be and stay disappointed. Now, being disappointed is a phenomenon that I've been exposing for the last several years. A large percent of society is addicted to disappointment. They go to great lengths to set good people up to disappoint them. And if you're someone who does too much for people, you over-obligate, over-give, over-serve, then typically what you do is you do too much for people from a situation that they can't possibly reciprocate in the form that you've set them up to disappoint you, so you can be overwhelmed and say, this always happens to me. Now, when you begin to let go of that control, you start to live in your power. So to effectively communicate is to understand this, predictability. The average attention span of the average person is 28 to 31 seconds. Now, some people who are more evolved, about 20% of society, have a longer attention span. That attention span is 45 seconds to 2 minutes. That's why occasionally you'll see an infomercial for 2 minutes long, a very shortened version of an infomercial that is 2 minutes long. But most of the commercials that you see online are 30 seconds or less, and all the commercial television advertising that you see on traditional cable television is 30 seconds. So that 30-second commercial is broken down into 3 10-second increments with a specific purpose in mind to brand an idea, brand a product, so that your subconscious mind picks up the idea, the concept, the product, the service, the unique marketing proposition, the value, or the brand, so that when you go into any store, retail, outlet, wherever it is, that your hand automatically, your dominant hand, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, 80% of the population is right-handed, 20% is left-handed. That is the hand that you'll reach across the shelf and put whatever it is in your cart. Now, that is unconscious persuasion with sales copy written specifically in mind to affect the way you buy. Now, the more you understand this, why people buy and why they behave, the more you start to have the law of averages in your favor. There's this big misconception that business is a numbers game. Although there are components to that statement that are facts and factual, business is not a numbers game. Business is about people, personalities, habits, and behaviors. And the more you understand cause and effect, why people do what they do, how and why people are predictable, you take yourself out of the equation. See, that's another big component. A large percent of society makes a situation about them, and they go, I haven't, so I can't. I haven't succeeded, so I can't attract successful people. My biggest problem is I don't know what to say. Now, see, you're edifying the problem rather than living in the solution. When you speak about the problem, you also qualify how much debt you're in, how challenged you are. You edify your challenges. That means you're more focused on the problem than you are the solution. When you let go of it being about you, and here's what that means, being about me. When you make it about you, what you're saying is, I'm less than, so I can't. I don't have experience. I'm brand new. I get people to the finish line, they don't buy. This always happens to me. My biggest problem is I can't find good people. I don't have leads. I'm not good at writing. And the proverbial, I can't put myself out there. I'm shy, I'm private, I don't know what to say, who to be, what to do. This is a lot of people's communication style. I don't like diets. When you speak like this, you speak yourself into your addictions, you speak yourself into your codependence, and you continue to tiptoe quietly through life, arriving at grave safely, dying the greatest pain, the pain of regret. Now, when you let go of guilt, shame, regret, being overwhelmed, you start to be more organized, because there's a lot of moving parts to success. Success isn't difficult. Success is new. Write that down. But when you say it's really hard, another common self-talk term, then it's very. And if hard shows up over and over in your communication style, then you effectively become, or ineffectively become, a hard aholic. That's H-A-R-D hyphen, A hyphen, H-O-L-I-C. What does it mean to be a hardaholic? It means that you have a difficult conscience. That means your critical advisor is your ego. Your ego does not want to let go. Your ego does not mean you're arrogant or eccentric. It's your analytical left brain that keeps you overanalyzing why you do what you do. It keeps you in a place that you can't perform unless you're perfect. You can't afford to make a mistake. You do not want to offend someone. And most commonly, you do not want to get in trouble. If you grew up with parents, grandparents, people in your circle of influence who are abusive, aggressive, abrasive, or who were codependent, or who were passive-aggressive, there's a high probability that you have become an addicted explainer, validator, and justifier. What does that mean? It means when asked a question, you typically check out. You've already created a situation based on a past event. To avoid trouble, you open mouth and start talking. You only heard half of the question. You think you heard what was said, but you didn't hear what was meant, so you start talking. About 45 seconds into the conversation, now 90 seconds into the conversation, you forgot. Forgotten what was asked. Now you're talking uncontrollably. And if you're sitting there saying, yep, that's me, yip is Y-I-P, it's really yes. And if you say that is me, then you change the word, that is no longer me, I am in recovery. When you move into state of recovery, you neutralize your addiction. But if you continue to foster your addiction by the words that you use, you continue to hide your wrappers, hide your food, hide your bottles, hide your compulsive spending, hide your addiction, then you live in denial. You become a pathological liar, seducing yourself into believing you're going to be successful without the skills. Then you use outside arterial sources to stuff a set of feelings that keep you with low self-esteem, self-talk that's not conducive to ever being successful. Now, you can say affirmations all day long, but you also must be able to do this, believe. Belief is a sense of certainty. And you also have to understand you can't be 110%, 150%, 200%. You have to be committed. And committed doesn't mean it has to be perfect, because you will encounter simple errors in judgment, as the great Jim Rohn said. And an error in judgment means you make a simple mistake. With a simple mistake, you simply apologize. When you apologize and ask for forgiveness, then you begin to neutralize your force. When you let go of your angst, your anger, your overwhelmed state, you begin to be in your power. Once again, power is non-physical. It's not linear. It is measurable, because it's measured in hertz per second. But the type of power I'm talking about is power without force, power without aggression. It is a very relaxed emotional state where you come from love, joy, bliss, enlightenment, not love. Do you have to love what you do? Sort of, but not completely. You can be really good at what you do, you enjoy what you do, but don't put pressure on yourself to create a situation that you're in the process of learning. You will still experience thresholds of pain. You'll still experience events where your ego will create stories. Now, your ego is very cunning and baffling. Anyone who's been through an addiction understands that. Anyone who's ever been to any 12-step program, and today alone, I have three of my clients that attended some great meetings today to really begin that recovery process. And you don't have to attend a meeting to be in the recovery process. Recovery process is a stated statement that I am. I am in recovery. I am letting go of the events that no longer serve me. I am letting go of the situations that have held me back. I am in the process of letting go. I'm an exceptional receiver. Now that I'm grown up, I'm learning how to have a dialogue with money that's conducive to attracting the people I can create it with. Money does not attract money. You're not in the process of attracting money. Now, you might win the lottery, but you also have to factor the law of averages are not in your favor. But if you talk yourself out of buying a lottery ticket, well, you cannot win if you do not play. And the more you understand that whole principle of being in process, in the game, in the flow, then you can start to create the Zen, Z-E-N, the yin and the yang, i.e. the inner game. The inner game is where you really learn how to master the game. The inner game is where you transcend from your old self into that person you deserve to become, and you're becoming that person now. That means you are being. And in that type of Zen-like of energy, you begin to change what you attract. When you step into that space has no bearing on what you did yesterday, which is history. That when you're in that space of enlightenment, it has no bearing on what's going to happen tomorrow. But if you're worried, the minute you begin to worry, you lost your power. In attractor factor, the type of people that you are seeking to show up will not respond to your anxiety. The type of people that will show up to your anxiety are the type of people that are familiar. As you begin to let go of that which is familiar, as you begin to let go of your past, whatever that means to you, when you begin to separate yourself from the events that have shaped your feelings, your brain begins to create a new identity, i.e., what this means is re-educating your expectation. So when you begin to believe that there will be a parking space for you, when you go to the concert and there are no tickets for sale, but you believe that it's not miraculously, but you believe through faith the size of a mustard seed, when you begin to believe that someone will have a ticket for you, when you begin to believe that, there's also a space where you're airy-fairy. You can't be so airy-fairy that what you're doing isn't practical. You can't believe, oh, I'm going to be a billionaire. All right, now that is possible, but you also have to have a vehicle to get there. And we're not talking about wishing. We're talking about action, production, power, a system, a routine, a method, synchronization beginning to happen, synchrodestiny, synchronicity, centrifugal force, the compounded effect, and this comes from your repetition and experience. When you begin to re-educate your expectation, once again, what does that mean? It means that you develop a different reflex. A lot of reflexes that you have learned are fight or flight reflexes. It means you check out. And the way you communicate with yourself is which is a sound. You lead a sentence with a sound, which is not a word meaning that it's going to take you about 3 to 8 seconds to react. Reacting is not conducive communication skills. When you can trust in self, trust in God, trust in whatever it is you learn to trust in, it means you let go of the past. Trust is now. However, if you've been violated, abandoned, neglected, abused, sexually abused, any of these situations, it can tend, that's a tendency. Tendencies means that it can hinder your ability to believe. It means that your brain chemistry has created a gap and a delay in your communication style. That gap and a delay can cost you a gold medal in a race. That gap and a delay can cost you the opportunity to make a purchase. That gap and a delay can cost you your life in traffic. That gap and delay when you check out can keep you missing out on opportunities. That gap and delay creates a communication style where you are uncertain. As you begin to re-educate your expectations, live in a place called belief, live in a place called certainty. When you are certain, then you will not be denied. When you come from that place, then you're so committed to success, you do not care how long is required. When you let go of your impatience, and you become patient. Now, here's a term that hinders a lot of people. I am not a patient person. What does that mean? It means you live for instant gratification. All right, well, that's cool. I understand it. No one wants to go to a restaurant and wait an hour for their entrees. Now, that's not really practical. But if you go to a restaurant and it takes half an hour or 20 minutes or 10 minutes, well, that would be routine. But if you're so impatient that you can't learn the skills, you failed before you started to justify your disappointment. But when you learn to let go of how and why, how you became disappointed, understanding why you do what you do, and you start to live in the solution rather than the problem, then you change your energetic vibration, your telepathic message changes, you begin to change what I attract. Now, I said earlier, you're 1 to 2 people away from greatness. What does that mean? In a sporting event, in a sports team, a quarterback, a closing pitcher, Mariano Rivera, a cleanup hitter, a shortstop, Derek Jeter. And when you're in a band, one person can change the whole chemistry of a band. When you're a teacher, that one student can change the whole chemistry of a class. When you're building a culture, that one person that joins you can be the difference maker. When you're a coach and you can create a culture, that one person that you attract can change the whole culture. When you have an attractor factor that's conducive to fostering change, you can be the difference. But if you put a lot of pressure on yourself, what does that mean? When you say that to yourself, when you say, I'm under a lot of pressure, well, in reality, if you look up the ceiling, usually it's painted white or whatever color a ceiling is painted, but there's usually no pressure on the ceiling. And if you feel like you're in the spotlight, well, what does that mean? Or I feel like you are putting me in the spotlight, or I feel like you are putting me in whatever people put you in. When you say to someone, you make me angry, my good friend Pat Mesiti says, when people spit on you, they don't spit on you to make you angry, they spit on you to make you wet. That's all perception. When you change your perception of a situation and have a better understanding of cause and effect, why people do what they do, you will personalize the situation to be and stay disappointed. As you become a recovering disappointer, as you become a recovering emotional addict, as you become organized, as you begin to let go of your overwhelmed state, when you learn to not believe you have to hold on to everything, when you say you can't get organized because you don't know where to start, that's one of those common commonalities that people use to be and stay overwhelmed. If you are unorganized, that's going to be a direct reflection of your rebellion and your unorganized, undisciplined state because you do not have a system, a routine, or a method to live your life by. Now, I have found that my most exceptional clients, friends, people of influence and affluence, here are some of the quality and traits that they have. I have found that typically the more successful a person, the more organized they are. Now, many people look at this type of person and go, oh, my God, they're neurotic. They're so consumed with being perfect, they can't possibly have any fun. Not really. You will find that someone who's detailed, organized, and methodical actually can organize situations in their head before they even start. That means that they can conceptualize and create. Now, that's a key component of a highly successful, evolved entrepreneur who is a soul having human experience, being able to conceptualize and create. Meaning, what does that mean, case in point? It means that they get a vision of the outcome, then they create it without figuring out how or how they created it. But most of society wants to know, how do I? Many people say to me, I know you don't love how-to questions. Actually, I'll break this down for you. It's not that I don't like how-to questions, is that many people use how-to in their analytical, egoic mind to avoid trusting their feelings. So you know that you know, but when you want someone to validate what you know, well, there's merit to that. That's the value of having a mentor when you already know it. And I mean, I've gone to a psychic before because I wanted the psychic to tell me what I already knew. I just wanted to be sure that I knew what I knew, because I wanted to control the control, and I'm learning to let go of that. I've learned that even though I had a good friend named Bill who was an exceptional sectional at extrasensory perception, it's not that I didn't need Bill. For a while, I deserved him. I deserved him to assist me with some of my own trust issues, and eventually, after going to his meditation classes on Saturday night in Dallas, Texas, I learned to begin to trust self, and to trust higher power, and to trust God, or whatever you want to call it, but to be able to trust is to be able to intuit. That's what intuition is to trust. And when you learn to intuit, then you are the answer. Instead of wanting to know the answer, if you really are the answer to your own prayer, instead of waiting for someone to show up, you show up. If you don't show up, how can anyone else show up? Well, I want someone to show up. Well, then show up. What does that mean? It means that what you do daily becomes a routine, and what you do daily becomes a discipline. What you do daily becomes a reflex. What you do daily becomes the fundamental foundation of what you do to create a result. Now, if you would have sat at my desk with me, my 1935 Art Deco desk that I've had for 15 years, I saw it in an Art Deco store down on Market Street in downtown San Francisco in a store called Out of the Past. And I knew that desk was mine. Now, at the time, I did not have the financial wherewithal to be able to to make that transaction. Notice the way I stated that. I did not have the financial wherewithal to make that transaction. So I introduced myself to the owner of that store. Her name was Pam Groot. I said, Pam, you have some of the most beautiful Art Deco furniture that I have ever seen, and I'm an Art Deco collector. No, I did not telegraph to Pam my financial challenges. At that point, I was about $100,000 in credit card debt. I was in downtown San Francisco, not faking it till I was making it. I was driving a 1990 Honda Accord that was purple, faded by the sun, cloth interior, 137,000 original miles on it, and I was financially challenged, but I was not going to telegraph that to Pam. I let Pam know that one day soon I would be back. Now, in sales lore, a be back is someone you can tell will never be back, but I did not telegraph to Pam that I would not be back. I was able to convey to Pam by asking her, could I put together a package of products in your store that I would one day like to purchase, and would you be willing to give me some sort of discount if I purchased in bulk? Now, I was $100,000 in credit card debt, and I'm in there buying Art Deco furniture that's about $30,000 worth of investment type of furniture for my future home that I do not have. See, this is the value of a vision. Now, I wasn't faking it till I made it. I knew that one day, one house soon, that I was claiming ownership. What most people don't have is a dream. What they have is a wish. And until you're really clear on what it is you deserve, then you will never possess what you think you ought to have. I was coaching a woman earlier this week, and I asked her what one of her dreams was, and she said about her kids and about her husband and about her dad, and she went round the merry-go-round and circle-jerked herself into exhaustion and told me all these things she thought I wanted to hear until I finally got her to say a horse. Ah, when I found that she really wanted a horse, she started crying. And when I asked her the reason she wanted a horse is because it connected her to her childhood. It's always something she wanted, but she never had. Her parents couldn't afford a horse, but she went to a stable and rode a horse. So I started to ask her specific questions about that horse. How tall do you want that horse? What color do you want that horse? What breed of horse is it? How many hands is it? She said, oh, I don't know, about. I said, well, instead of I don't know about, how many hands is it? It was a 16-hand horse. How old is the horse you're going to one day purchase? How much you will be willing to invest in the horse of your dream? Where will you be stabling that horse? Can you imagine the saddle that you will buy for that horse? How about the clothing you're going to one day purchase? Can you imagine yourself riding in competition with that horse? Who are you going to have your trainer? Who is going to be your groom? And I asked her, do you remember the smell of going to the barn? Do you remember that smell? Do you remember the dogs? Were there Jack Russells? What kind of dogs were there? So when you start to visualize what it is you deserve, when you start to creatively visualize, when you begin to let go of your anxiety, when you stop telling yourself what you think other people want to hear, when you get real clear with your message, when you get in touch with, when you're one with, when you start to live in that type of space, you begin to attract to your reality people and situations that you can co-collaborate with, that you deserve to partner with. When you start to create that kind of energetic vibration, when you start to come from power, desiring to own a horse is power because it's powerful to live your dream. The type of power I'm sharing with you is non-linear, non-physical. It's the value of a dream. It's the value of a goal. It's the value of a purpose. When your purpose is greater than your problem, you begin to magnetize your reality, the people and situations that you can co-collaborate with. This is when they show up. They can't show up when you don't show up. The people don't show up mythically, magically when you keep telling yourself you're not good at writing. When you're afraid of what your broke dick friends are going to say because you write something about being in a company, oh my God, he's in a company. Well, so what? So you are, I mean, you're already in a company. You're in a corporation where many people are deferring their student loan debt. I'll tell you what's staggering, how many people I encounter in their late 20s who are in free enterprise. And I really feel for these people. I mean, mean, I have compassion for them and passion for them to teach them the skills not to be in this position. A large percent of America went out and got educated. They went out and bought the American dream and got themselves a loan for about 8% on education that can't deliver. Now, I loved college. I'm not against college. I'm against debt. Debt strangles people. Now, there's two kinds of debt. There's liability debt and asset debt. When you're in asset debt with the plan to be able to remove yourself from debt so that you can be free of debt, then it's a different situation. When you're borrowing someone else's money and it makes sense, that's different. When you're borrowing someone else's money and it doesn't make sense, when you continue to rack up debt, accrue debt, avoid debt, see, when you talk like that, when you defer debt, what many people that defer debt don't understand is that the points continue to accrue. And so you may not be making the payments to stave off the problem. Well, that's not the solution. The solution is to outproduce your problem. Now, how does that happen? It means you have to borrow time, leverage time. This is language that must be conducive to being successful. You have to give up time. You have to be able to be willing to do what others won't, so you can. You have to be willing to do what others don't, so you can have what others won't. When you learn to live in that space, then you will not be denied. The price must be paid, whatever the price is. Now, I'm going to tell you this: if you're one of these few people who pay the price, you'll get criticized for producing on holidays. You'll get criticized for doing things that others will not do. You'll get criticized for making a purchase and rewarding yourself because other people don't have the courage and or the guts to do what you are doing. I recently coached a woman who told me she had a lot of anxiety about releasing that last 10 pounds because her friends wouldn't love her. And I said, what does that even mean? She said, well, if I lose my 10 pounds, then my friends are going to be mad at me. Now, is that fact or is that fiction? You would have to discern that. But if you let that story rob you of whatever physique you want, or if you let that story rob you of being successful, then you get a stay and be disappointed. Now, when you let go of your control that keeps you in control and you begin to change your words and change your laws, then you will begin to attract to your reality people and situations that you can collaborate with. You are seeking prosperity partners. But when you say, I want to get someone to that position in my company, how do I get them? People ask me that. I say, well, you're not a getter. You're a producer. And, well, what does that mean? It means that a lot of how much energy you put into people's success is overrated. When you make someone else's success about you, you're out of control. But when you have to be in control of someone else's control, you're out of control. People are going to be who they are, and people are going to do what they do. Now, as a leader, yes, you're a leader grower. That's unequivocally correct. You are responsible for your word, provided you're not overstating your word. Don't ever promise someone they're going to be successful. Don't ever guarantee someone successful. Don't ever sell a guarantee. For any reason, the product doesn't work, just go ahead and send it on back. Now, that is the dumbest thing you could possibly say, because you're attracting someone into the business using the possibility that they won't commit. If you attract people who are commitment phobic because you're commitment phobic, what you have is a disaster. You will have a codependent team with no commitment. Use the word commit. Integrate it into your communication style. Use it in your sentence structure. Start to eliminate how long of stories you tell each other. 5 to 15 words that end with a question. When you begin very skilled at asking questions in a sequence, then you become a skilled interviewer, a skilled relaxer. You can sit down and create rapport with people. You can small talk, fact find. You can virtually interview someone to find out where they're coming from in life, in business. When you become a skilled interviewer, then you can become a skilled recruiter. You must be able to interview to your recruits. You must qualify people for your time. The better you get at asking the questions in a sequence, practice with your children, practice with your parents, practice with your relatives. How do I practice? Do I practice in the mirror? Not necessarily. You practice with human beings, not human doings. You practice, meaning it's the reflex. You ask the questions in a sequence. But if you have to have the absolute perfect lead, that becomes your excuse never to call leads. Yes, I know it's 2015. I know there's all types of new social media add-ons and new Facebook pages, and there's new applications, and there's all these great products and services out there, but you still have to be able to qualify people for your time. You may use LinkedIn, you may use Facebook, you may use Twitter, you may use all these awesome social media ways to brand yourself, but there's still a place where you take the communication offline to where you can have a legitimate conversation with someone. The messenger may change, but the message is still the same. A lot of the messengers, the way we attract people, have improved, quantified, gotten better. It's much easier through the speed of light to attract people through the power of the word, through the power of the internet. But still, there's a human factor, and that human factor is when two souls come together of like mind, coming together for common cause. That is a mastermind alliance. Now, when you start to attract 3, 5, and 7, then there become power in numbers. For you to rank advance in your company to diamond, ruby, platinum, 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, as you begin to rank advance in your company, that's going to be a direct reflection of the centrifugal force you are creating by the leader you are becoming and the attractor factor you are creating. You are one person away from greatness. Teams go out and they leverage the farm for talent. The Denver Broncos a few years ago gave Peyton Manning the farm to be one of the top paid NFL quarterbacks. The New England Patriots pay Tom Brady premium price for his services. The Dallas Cowboys paid the most, they put the most money in the history of stadiums into their stadium so they could have the number one stadium in the world, and they use it for multiple venues. When you are willing to pay the price, when you are willing to pay premium price, when you're willing to be that person of influence and affluence, when you're willing to go the extra yard, when you're willing to stand the gaff, stay in the game long enough to master the emotional skills, to master the physical skills, when you start to develop the reflexes of success. What does a reflex mean? It means that automatically, without thinking, with trust, you're able to deliver a message without being consumed with making a mistake. But if you're consumed with making a mistake, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing, offending someone, you have checked out before you started. It's going to take you several seconds to react rather than respond. But when you're in the present, in the game, and you learn how to respond, your attractor factor is different because people feel you differently. When you're walking out in the planet, when you're out in the circle of influence, when you're in the public, you're not in the public eye, you're in the public. When you're in the public and you're walking through a mall or you're walking through any situation, you don't have to have so much swag that you act like you own it. You don't have to be arrogant or abrasive or abusive, but you want to have a very relaxed presence, a cadence in your walk, a hitch. You don't want to have a hitch in your giddy-up. You want to be able to be very relaxed, very present, very aware. You want to be in tune. You want to have 360 degrees worth of peripheral vision where you can see and sense what's going on in front of you, to the side of you, and around you. When you're that kind of person of influence and affluence, you begin to attract your reality a different type of situation. Your self-talk will determine your actions, and your self-talk determines your inaction. When you continue to speak yourself into inaction, you're inactive. You're on the injured reserve. You're on the bench. You're in the stands. You're in the stadium. But when you're in action, when you're active, you're in the game. It's in action that you learn the rules of engagement. It's in action that you learn repetition and experience that allows you to experience what it's like to be a business owner, the experience to be an entrepreneur. But when you avoid the experience required to be successful because of your story and your self-talk, then you will be and stay disappointed. When you let go of the control that keeps you disappointed, then you become a whole different energetic being, attracting your reality, people in situations that can be prosperity partners, that can be teammates, people you can collaborate with. When you find people who are tapped in, people who have influence, affluence, when you can find people who attract people who have clearly defined short-term goals, people that come from purpose, service, and value, when you begin to attract this type of person to your reality, now you have a team. When you have a team, that's when you create the compounded effect. The compounded effect is the centrifugal force that creates the wave, a wave under the ocean that begins to start, the tsunami. If you've ever surfed, it's that kind of wave. It's one of the most zen-like qualities you could ever do. If you've ever body surfed or actually been on a board in nature in the ocean. It's a Zen-like situation. For those of you who meditate, for those of you who do Reiki, for those of you who do any kind of healing modalities, for those of you who learn how to breathe, those of you who do yoga, then you understand what it's like to really stop the noise, turn off the chatter, be one with. Be innate. Now, in that kind of place, your self-talk is different because your emotional chatter is silence. Events from your past are what create a self-talk that perpetuates your addictive state. As you begin to address your past events, be aware of why you do what you do, be aware of the language that you speak, and become, most importantly, listen to how people communicate. You can learn a lot by listening. Listen on an airplane, listen in a mall, listen to a restaurant. Watch how the waitress responds to your questions. Watch how the hostess responds to what you ask. Watch how many people are checked out. Become an exceptional people watcher. I had dinner just Sunday night, and I said to the woman I was having dinner with, I said, oh, my God, can you imagine what those four people's apartment must look like? Now, you could tell that they live in apartments. I'm not prejudging anyone. I'm being objective. But you could just tell by the way they ate, what was going on at the table, that if you, and it was two couples, and I guarantee you that they couldn't get the car in the garage. I guarantee you that the house would be a disaster. The beds wouldn't be made. The counters would be filled. Just because of how overwhelmed and how much drama and chaos they are were in dinner. I have actually sat in first class and watched someone in a seat on the side of me, in front of me, next to me, watch how much drama they create just in sitting there, how many papers, how many books they have, what the grunts they make, the noise, they take their shoes off, they, how many drinks they have. We're sitting down on an airplane already pounding a bloody and a red wine back. Now, that is someone at 6 a.m. in the morning who's pounding a double bloody with a red wine back. That's typically a drinking problem, and they're taking that edge off. So the more you understand cause and effect, you create a self-talk conducive to the outcome you seek. When you begin to come from power and let go of force, when you learn to affirm, speak into existence reality you're in the process of creating, when you affirm, when you state, when you speak into existence, the action that you are in the process of attracting. When you are very clear with who it is you seek to attract, you should have qualities in the person you seek to attract. List 3 to 5 to 7 qualities in the ideal teammate. 3 to 5 to 7 qualities in the ideal prosperity partner. 3 to 5, 7 qualities in your future 5-star ruby or diamond that you're attracted. When you get really clear on who you are and what you deserve, when you get really clear on who you are and what you desire to attract, when you get really clear on who you are and what you deserve to receive, then you will begin to change who you are and what you attract. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my unequivocal privilege and pleasure to share with you on this Tuesday evening context and concepts from self-talk. Have a great evening, everyone. I'll see many of you in events this weekend and future weekends. Good night.